Well, hey everyone, welcome to this online message from Mark chapter 4. We're in the middle of a body of teaching. It's really the first body of teaching in Mark, as we've been saying, and you're probably sick of hearing me say, that Mark is an action gospel. You don't see as much of the big bodies of teaching and parables that you see in the other gospels, because Mark tells the story through action. But there is some. In chapter 4, we get where Jesus is in a boat, Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching and he's using parables. And this weekend, if you were with us, we saw the first of four parables, and they all really have to do with one subject, the kingdom, right? So we're going to see the other three. They're kind of quick, and I want to cover them all with you today to see. They're all really about this one subject and aspects of this subject, the kingdom of God. We're going to see, you know, I don't want to, this is kind of dying on me, but some of us feel like this is our light. Let your light shine. We're going to see Jesus loves, as we already saw in the first parable this weekend, he loves, you can barely see seeds. And the idea of seeds is an example of the kingdom. But again, it's that one subject, because here's the thing that still happens today with people who are going to church, or people who call themselves Christians, or people who are Christians, including me, is that we can often want to major on the minors when it comes to Jesus. Because what we need right now is what we need. And remember, he's got whole crowds. They got demonically possessed. He's casting them out. They need healing. They need all these things. He's got critics. He's got crowds. He's got all this stuff. And he wants to keep it simple. I do care about those things. But I'm here for the main thing. Don't concentrate on the details as much as what I'm here for, to bring and usher in the kingdom of God. Imagine if you were telling a story. Let's say, unfortunately, you got in a car accident and you had to be brought to the hospital by an ambulance, and you're telling the story to people. You're like, yeah, so I gotta say, I'm in an ambulance and we're going to the hospital. I'm like, whoa, which road did you take? Wait, which, did he take the second turn on Elm, or did he take the highway? And you'd be like, I'm sorry, what? Like, this story, you're just focused on the wrong thing. And even though it seems like the right thing to us when we're like worried about just our initial healing or our money problems and all of that, that Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God. We can't forget that. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is here, right? And so he's going to tell these parables. The first was the parable of the sower, or the soils, which we covered this weekend. And now these three that he's going to get to, and let's launch into them. First, let me pray. Lord, keep in front of us the main thing of why you came. The kingdom is here. Lord, I thank you that you care about our illness and our relationship problems and our grief and our loss. And all of these things, thank you that we can bring these things to you, that you care, that you still heal, that you still move in these things. And yet, Lord, help us to not focus on not the main thing, that you have an eternal plan for us, your kingdom that you have brought in and will be culminated when you return. So, Lord, help us to understand these parables. Help us to receive your word in a way that helps us, each who are watching this, including myself, to flourish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so if you're following along with us, it's Mark chapter 4 still. We pick it up in verse 21. So this will be the first parable about the kingdom of God. And so it says, and Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? And not on a stand. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. All right, so is what happens sometimes. This is why I like to go through whole sections and whole books like we're doing with Mark, because we can pick and choose verses and immediately jump to an application that isn't its primary application. And we often do that with this verse. We apply it more like Matthew chapter 5, when he said, let your light shine before men so they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's your light and my light. And so we see this, and sometimes we're like, oh, this parable is about us shining out, kind of like Matthew 5. In a way, and I'll get there, but this isn't a series of teachings on God's kingdom and his disciples, his apostles especially, puzzlement about the kingdom and some of the things Jesus is saying and doing, even him as Messiah so far, he's trying to keep that on the hush, right? He's not announcing it to people, and he's doing, like, why not? They're puzzled, right? And so they're puzzled, I think, because, and we've talked about this, but it's like they think the kingdom is here, which means the Messiah is going to uproot Rome, set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and here we go, right? The big, the bold, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be bright, everyone's going to see it, because they mix up near and far prophecy. That will happen at the culmination. Jesus is trying to help them to understand that no, there's actually a slow movement to this, at least in our experience or our perspective, not God's. He has the plan, but for us, it's like, we want it now, and he's like, actually, it's not quite going to work that way, right? And so he's saying this light isn't just you and I, like our light, although we will get there. It's the light of the kingdom. He's saying that it looks like it's under a basket right now, right? And let me get it in this flashlight, which Lauren let me borrow, and it's really sad, but I'm thankful because I forgot mine at home. But it's a light that actually, like he's like, it's as if you can't see it. And that is the apostles' experience right now, right? That they're like, if you're the Messiah, let's tell everyone. If the kingdom is here, let's go. And he's like, right? There's a slower plan. There's a different plan. This isn't an earthly plan. Your real problem is not Rome. It's sin. And the kingdom is coming to conquer evil and sin, not just the latest kingdom that's manifesting evil, which is what Rome was, and to put it in the long line of Greece and of Syria and Babylon and even before that. And since then, that's too limited, right? But he's telling them not to worry, right? Because this is the light of the kingdom of God. And if it's a light, it wasn't made to be dark. It was actually made to shine. Right. And so it's maybe seems like it's hidden right now, but the ultimate plan for light is to shine, and it will. And since then, haven't we seen that? We've seen the gospel go out. We've seen the church grow. We've seen the movement of the Lord Jesus throughout the entire world. However, it's not quite as bright as it will be someday. Right. The culmination. That's when everyone will see everyone. But for now, we have seen the progression. In that time, because there was so much confusion around the kingdom and so much confusion around the Messiah, he didn't want to just be out there with it because everyone's going to run with the wrong ideas. So he was just really trying to encourage them, listen, it will shine. Just trust God and trust his plan. Now, also, when it comes now to the individual believer, disciple of Jesus, which I hope you are, we are, as the light of the kingdom shines in a dark world, we are to be a part of it. And so we are to, like Matthew 5 says, let our lives point to the praise and glory of our Lord. And so the light, as it's increasing, the kingdom of God is moving throughout the world, not where it will someday be, but far brighter than it was in the very early days. We are to be a part of the light, not as an individual light, but as a collective that point people to the fact that there is hope in this dark world, that there is a light that will transcend the darkness, and that they can trust in this Jesus who has done that. All right. Second, let me just finish this. And in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. In verse 25, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Right? So, as we mentioned this weekend, if you were with us, the key throughout all of these parables and teachings in Mark chapter 4 is the word hear. Hear, hear, hear me, hear. And in this, just like in the parable of the soils, the idea of hearing is to carefully receive what God is saying, what the Lord is saying about his kingdom. Embrace it and let it sink in so that it might bear fruit in our lives. That's what hear means. And so he even said, like he's been saying, that the parables served a couple of purposes. One, cool stories to teach us points, but sometimes very hard to understand, because that's the other purpose of the parable. It was actually to keep people out who didn't really want to be on the inside. So he's saying a real disciple is going to listen to this teaching, and you're going to hear the word, and you're going to respond. So a parable makes you have to kind of work for it a little bit. Like, wait, what do you mean? And ask follow-up questions. And so what Jesus is saying, as you hear the word and as it begins to work in your life, you're going to be given even more spiritual insight, even more spiritual teaching that you're going to now be able to understand, rather than the person who's just kind of haphazardly listening and doesn't really care. The parable's actually going to protect the kingdom from imposters like that. But the big idea of that first parable is that the kingdom will shine, right? Jesus says it will shine. It might feel hidden, he says to his disciples, but it will shine. It may feel, even today, as you look around, we're now just days away from a national election where, regardless of what happens, it shows tremendous division, tremendous divide, people not listening. It feels like those in power just want to take advantage of the powerless. This is not a new playbook of evil. This is, read the scriptures. It's always the vulnerable. It's always the widow. It's always the orphan. It's always children. It's always babies. It's always women who those who are less strong in society. It always is. That's just the playbook. We're seeing it play out, and it can feel hopeless. Even as a Christian, you can be like, right? You have to remember that the light of the kingdom will shine. And so our job is to, yes, face the darkness that we see, but don't do it without hope, because you know his kingdom is already here, and it's moving, and it's shining, and it will shine its brightest soon when the Lord returns. Second parable of the kingdom. How do we know it's a kingdom? Well, he says, verse 26, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, right? Okay, so brought up some seed again. Can't really see it, but got a few seeds. And so if you've ever, whether you're a farmer or not, remember Jesus used this not because he was, in love with farming, but he lived in a community where it was very prevalent. I mean, he could have been teaching and there could have been literally a sower off in the distance. And he's like, now see that guy, right? And he used seed as an example. We don't know. It's cool to think about, right? And so, but if you've ever planted any kind of seed, even as a kid, or maybe you have a garden, right? What happens when you scatter it? Is in the end, besides maybe watering it or whatever, and weeding your garden, for the most part, you have no say at that point, do you? You have trust that the seed will grow, but you're not really doing a whole lot about it. You just kind of got to wait. That's what he means by verse 27. Look with me. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. He put here, I brought my little a pot of soil, right? And it's like you plant it in there, and then essentially you're just saying, all right, I've seen it happen. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't really have control over it. And so I rise and I go to sleep, and I rise and I go to sleep. And so he's saying that's kind of what the farmer does in this parable. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Right? So all brings this one all the way to the end of the harvest itself, right? So remember, the seed is the kingdom, and again, their puzzlement over the kingdom is, why does it seem so hidden? Like, what's happening here? And it's like every day we're trusting that God is moving, that there is going to be something that grows out of this, but we're not seeing it. So I live, I go to sleep, I wake up, I live, I go to sleep, right? And just like a farmer, there isn't a whole lot I have control over this, right? That we need to understand that God's in control of this. Like, this isn't me, this isn't you in control of the kingdom growing and flourishing. But while we're in the midst of it, now, just like in the light analogy and parable, we're kind of in the middle, right? Like, when Jesus originally taught this, they were like, I don't know, it feels like if the kingdom's really here, more people should know about it. Like, there's a few of us, There's a lot of people who don't understand it. There's religious leaders that hate you for it. This doesn't feel like the kingdom like we thought it was going to be. And he says, no. It's like seeds. And it will grow. And you just have to trust the God who makes the seed grow. Right? And so here's for us how to apply it. The kingdom is in everyday life. Right? That we now live in a just like with the light, where we can see how man, God has moved. This started with a raggedy tag band of confused, you know, men and women, small group, you know, not even the size of a decent sized church today. And yet, what do you got now? You got the gospel has gone throughout the world. Yes, we're still trying to reach some unpeopled groups, some unreached people groups, but overall, it's been crazy how the church has grown and how so many in all different cultures have responded. And so we need to see in our own day that it is, that it's going to grow. And maybe we're seeing a little bit, but in the end, and it's a little heavy, but let me try. This is what kind of what Jesus says, right? That we are going to have a harvest. That seed that you didn't see growing, that as you wait, as you pray, as you trust that it's growing, there's going to come a day where there's a harvest, right? And so that day is, of course, the day of the Lord when he separates that which is fruit and that which isn't, which again, God is in charge of. And so what you and I have to do in our everyday life is to focus on what we see God doing instead of being captured by what we don't see happening. So many people who seem to embrace evil or seem to have zero interest in God and hate God. We need to, like this weekend, we baptized what, like 15 people? Like that's, like that, God's on the move. His harvest is growing. It's just happening sometimes in a way that we can't always see. And so we go to bed and we wake up, we go to bed, we wake up. We have to never lose sight of what God is doing. That's why you got to be around God's people, because then you can see what God is doing. If you're isolating yourself, it's easy to only see what you don't see happening and get frustrated that I don't know where that seed, I don't know where any growth is happening, right? The kingdom is growing in our everyday mundane life as we trust God. Don't lose sight of it, because then the minors become the majors, right? Like the minors in life become the major things we worry about, because we've lost sight that Jesus is coming again. His kingdom is already here and it's happening, and we want to be a part of it, right? Okay, third parable about the kingdom. How do we know it's about the kingdom? Well, verse 30, Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it?" Okay, I guess that makes it simple. So again, he says, "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth." Right? So again, here's some seeds. This is not a mustard seed. These are bigger, actually. You know, people said, "Oh, there's actually smaller seeds." I mean, it's just not the point of the parable. Jesus is telling them, look, you know a mustard seed, and it's tiny. Right? Tiny. So when you plant it, it's the maybe one of the most insignificant things you can possibly imagine, right? That's the whole point of this parable. That's like the kingdom in his day. It feels insignificant. It feels like we should be doing more. It feels like that's not much. How are we going to move across the world? How are we going to do anything? It's just like, you know, a handful of us, right? It's verse 32. "Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade," right? So again, seems insignificant, just a seed, just in the dirt. And then again, this is smaller actually, and it's not a mustard bush, but imagine now you're like, wow, right? Now we could take some shelter, and especially the birds, which is an interesting topic that like in Jewish teaching, often they would compare birds taking, taking shelter in a tree or whatever, something like that, as Gentiles or people who are outside of the Jewish faith. And so it seems like what Jesus is clearly teaching here is that this insignificant little kingdom that you can't even understand why it's so small, why it's so covered up, what that it's going to, when you wait, it's going to grow to the point where it's not only going to be for you and I, but for so many others that will be able to come and take shelter. So many Gentiles, so many people of other cultures, because the kingdom is bigger than just one nation. Here's the point of this one that I want you to see, that the kingdom is unstoppable, right? The kingdom will shine, right? The kingdom, it is in our everyday life, and it's unstoppable. It sometimes seems small and insignificant, even today, right? It feels like what Jesus is doing is great, but it feels like the evil is worse. It feels like there's way more people, which the Bible told us would happen. But it still feels sometimes, if you're trying to follow Christ, that you're insignificant, that what's happening, what the Bible says will happen is that really going to happen? It feels just, it doesn't feel like it'll ever get off the ground. And yet, look all that has happened since. We already have people of so many languages, so many colors, so many cultures who are in that tree taking respite, taking refuge in the gospel, in the kingdom, and it's only going to get bigger. What Jesus said, I know this world is hard. I know that it feels broken at times. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. And so if you don't see it today, you trust him in it. It's unstoppable. No amount of evil, no demonic force, no politician, no false religion, no government, no nation is ever going to be able to stop the kingdom of God. It's here. It's growing. We can see how it's grown, and it will grow all the way to the harvest, right? So that we trust, we obey, and we become part of this unstoppable kingdom. Jesus finishes this body of teaching with this. Mark does, really, not Jesus, but Mark says this, it's a summary. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. So again, parables were for those who are truly receiving the word. He gave them more. But if they were just kind of carelessly just waiting until he was done with the sermon so they could get a healing, it's going over their head. And this is, in a way, God's sovereign way of feeding those he's going to feed and not feeding those he's not going to feed. And we just got to trust God with that. We also need to realize that's still going to happen today. You're going to share Christ. I'm going to preach sermons. You're going to teach the Bible. You're going to do. And there are some that just are never going to care. Their heart is going to be hardened towards the gospel. And that's hard, but it's always been the way it is. And yet there's going to be others, usually those you least expect, that are going to go, tell me more. I want to know more. I want to learn more, right? And so what's our job as we think about these parables? Remember the key word here throughout all four of these up to verse 34 in Mark chapter 4. Our job is to hear, which means to receive, right? To be this beautiful soil that receives the word. Let it change us as we grow, bear fruit, and we participate in the harvest, and we participate in shining the light of the gospel in this world. And the good question is, are we doing that? Are we careful about God's word? Are we careful about receiving what he said to us? Or are we careless? Are we haphazard? Are we just like, well, he's going to come back, I'm just going to live it up now? That is not how a disciple operates. Never has been, never will be. And so this concludes Matthew 1 to 34. And then this upcoming weekend, we'll get to, they go across the sea and a storm hits that risks the lives of all of his apostles. What will Jesus do about it? In the meantime, let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bear fruit in our lives. I pray that whatever is in the way, whatever selfishness, whatever sin, whatever distraction, whatever worry, Lord, you would remove it. Even if it hurts, even if it's hard, that you would remove it so that we might just be sold out to bearing fruit that is part of the kingdom of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that that you would show us where those areas are. And Lord, for those of us that are discouraged today, discouraged at the world, discouraged in our lives, discouraged in so many things, would you encourage us? Would you help us to see in a beautiful, refreshing way what you're doing? And that would encourage our hearts to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep believing, and to keep bearing fruit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll see you this weekend.